The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily. With Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Hard to believe we're already at the last program of this work week. We've got a lot to look forward to here at Edstone over the weekend. We've got the Cardiff Pack. There's the Sunday afternoon event, and then the follow-up Monday evening. So we're looking forward to that. We're taking quite a crew. I think there's quite a few brethren coming over from the London area as well. We've got 124 signed up for the first night and 77 for the second night. And as far as non-members go, there's 69 signed up for the first night and then 57 for the second night. So pretty good, at least as far as registration goes, a pretty good turnout for the second night as well. So now we'll just see what the follow-through rate is, and we'll be there and ready to report back to you from Cardiff on Monday's program, so you can look forward to that. Coming up on today's show, I think it's been a couple of years since I've gone through some of the material that I use for the college students from time to time on the evaluation, our daily evaluation. Mr. Armstrong had a classic listing of questions to ask at the end of each day. My father's admonished the ministers in the Church of God to regularly look at themselves and to see how they are doing. And I think in the spirit of some of the things we've been talking about in recent days, and even in looking at some of the feedback to a program I gave last week about just getting out and enjoying some moderate exercise, walking, that sort of thing. There's some great emails that have come in, people that can testify to the fact that it really does pay off if you get into those right habits. So we'll break it down even further and review some of the material, as I say, that I've gone through with the students in years past, and I think on this program even a couple of years ago. But it's been 2 years or so, so nothing like some good review. Well, it's not often that we get to hear Angela Merkel in English. She was delivering the commencement address at Harvard yesterday, and most of the speech, I think it went on for like 30 minutes with the translator back and forth. And most of it, she was speaking in German. But she made a point to conclude the message in English, and I'll play that here in just a second. But just to give you sort of the context, she began the speech by describing her years growing up in East Germany before the fall of the Berlin Wall, and she said that every time she saw that wall, she knew she basically wasn't free, and that her opportunities are limited or were limited, and so she kind of tells this history. And about this actual physical barrier that separated her country. And then that's what she led into with this conclusion, which, as it happens, was in English. Here's clip 6.
That's why I want to leave this wish with you. Tear down walls of ignorance and narrow-mindedness, for nothing has to stay as it is.
And, of course, a lot in the media then were quick to take that and some of the other points that she made while speaking German, to take that as a shot at President Trump, who is not only wanting to build a physical barrier south of the border, but he's also, of course, in their minds, building up lots of other barriers, causing division in the country and so on. She said there, or she encouraged the Harvard graduates to strive for, I guess, multilateralism instead of unilateralism, getting away from, just one nation dominating and thinking in more of a global mindset, being more open-minded instead of more isolationist. She said we can't enforce protectionism. We need to have open and free trade. So it's pretty obvious that some of the things, although she didn't mention Donald Trump by name, that some of his policies she certainly does take exception with. And so Politico and the New York Times and all the rest were quite happy to report on her commencement. It says here at Politico, Merkel takes aim at Trump in tear down walls speech. Here it says, though she did not name the U.S. president, the German chancellor devoted much of the Harvard University commencement speech to attacking major pillars of Donald Trump's presidency, protectionism, trade wars, and building walls. She also warned of the threat climate change poses to our planet's resources and called for the world to work together. And as Politico brings out, this follows, of course, Donald Trump pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. So she was received well by students, and faculty alike there at Harvard. Tear down those walls. And speaking of walls, quite a bit of news yesterday, or I guess it was last night in the States, where the president announced that he's going to impose 5% tariffs on Mexican goods coming into the country until Mexico does something to slow down this ever-increasing tide of illegal immigration. This is proving to be President Trump's favorite weapon of war, trade war. He's been raising tariffs against China, and now he's using this as a weapon to go after Mexico. The tariff takes effect on June 10th, just a couple of weeks from now. And then it's only 5% now, as I said, but it can go up as high as 25% by the time we get to October. So again, there may be some short-term game. There was even, I didn't bring it up here with me, but a piece that said that the Mexican government is already responding and wanting to talk to President Trump. So as we keep pointing out, the short-term gain may be there. But boy, where is this leading? When you use, if this is your weapon of choice, what happens again when all of the rest band together? And they start their war against the United States. So that's certainly something that's never ending, it seems. The fight in the United States, the fight in Washington, D.C. over what to do with illegal immigration. You've got the president and his administration and all the things that they want to do. And then the Democrats, their objective is basically just to oppose Donald Trump in every respect. And we've seen that earlier this week, too, with Bob Mueller's public statement on, what was it, Wednesday, I guess it was. We talked about it on this show yesterday. I mentioned on yesterday's program how that the Attorney General, William Barr, he wasn't even in town when Bob Mueller decided to make his big public pronouncement. The Attorney General's in Alaska, which is a really interesting story, nothing really significant from a prophetic standpoint, but I think it's just interesting. He's up there, I think, for several days traveling the state, this massive state that's about half the size of the continental United States, and he's visiting all of these rural areas to discuss law enforcement and the challenges that they face in rural Alaska. That's pretty amazing to think about this attorney general that's up in the farthest remote locations of the United States looking to bring back more order and structure and law enforcement. That's great. That's refreshing. In fact, there was a tweet yesterday. I think it was one of his assistants or something that she tweeted out how that their plans had changed and that Mr. Barr had to end up taking a military transport plane across rural Alaska. And so he's pictured in this tweet, I guess, the assistants in the transport plane with him. And she takes a little video of him. He's strapped into this seat. He's looking out the back of this transport plane, which is fully open. And he's just looking out at rural Alaska down below. Pretty amazing. I think he's the kind of attorney general that quite a few Americans can really identify with. And then you listen to him talk. You listen to what he says about law and order. You listen to what he says about the Constitution of the United States. It's really refreshing, as I've been saying. It was only a matter of time, of course, before he had a response for Bob Mueller's press conference on Wednesday. CBS tracked him down, and of course we'll have to listen to the full interview. I think it's sometime this morning in the U.S., but the two clips that were released yesterday, I know they've already been played a fair bit on certain sites and such, news sites, but I want to replay them here because here he is talking about the Mueller investigation and really the purpose for the Department of Justice. This is clip one.
We saw the special counsel yesterday make that statement. He analyzed 11 instances where there were possible obstruction and then said that he really couldn't make a decision. Do you agree with that interpretation?
I personally felt he could have reached a decision.
In your view, he could have reached a conclusion.
Right, he could have reached a conclusion. The opinion says you cannot indict a president while he's in office, but he could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity. But he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained, and I'm not going to, you know, argue about those reasons, but when he didn't make a decision, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and I felt it was necessary for us, as the heads of the department, to reach that decision.
Well, I mean, he seemed to suggest yesterday that there was another venue for this, and that was Congress.
Well, I'm not sure what he was suggesting, but, you know, the Department of Justice doesn't use our powers of investigating crimes as an adjunct to Congress.
That last statement in particular, the DOJ doesn't use our powers of investigating a crime. That's their job, investigating a crime, but we don't use those powers as an adjunct to Congress. We're not here to assist Congress in the impeachment process. This is not, it's not supposed to be anyway. It's not supposed to be a report that helps Congress with the articles of impeachment. So you see what he's getting at. He was actually quite nice about it, all things considered, particularly when you think about Mr. Mueller and his contradictions, what he said on Wednesday, and what he reportedly said to William Barr and several others in the DOJ as to why he didn't reach a conclusion. But here is the Attorney General of the United States clearly spelling out what the responsibility of the DOJ is as an extension of the executive branch. One more exchange with the CBS reporter, clip two.
When you see some of the criticism, and you've gotten quite a bit of it, that you're protecting the president, that you're enabling the president, what's your response to that?
Well, we live in a hyper-partisan age where people no longer really pay attention to the substance of what's said, but as to who says it and what side they're on and what its political ramifications are. The Department of Justice is all about the law and the facts and the substance, and I'm going to make the decisions based on the law and the facts, and I realize that's in tension with the political climate we live in because people are more interested in getting their way politically. So I think it just goes with the territory of being Attorney General in a hyper-partisan period of time.
Pretty good commentary on our society and what's wrong with it. A hyper-partisan age, he said. And people don't care about the facts and the law and the substance. It's all about who says it. It's all about what this side says or the other side says. And so he says this, you know, this comes with the territory of being Attorney General. In this hyper-partisan age, we've still got to uphold the law and the facts and the substance. So it does make for, as much as this attack, this assault on the presidency is coming from every direction, you do have a pretty good 1-2 punch with this president and this Attorney General. They're just taking one punch after another, and yet they keep counterpunching. They keep responding back. And of course, all of their enemies are attacking them mercilessly. because in the case of the top Obama officials, they're nervous. They're nervous about this attorney general and this president. The president had another exchange. Of course, all the press reported that it was just this angry, contentious exchange out before he hopped on the helicopter behind the White House. But if you listen to it, as I listened to it yesterday, here again, there's some pretty good exchanges, some pretty good answers. What about the Russian threat and the fact that nothing was done about it until after Donald Trump won the election in 2016? Here's what President Trump, move ahead to clip five here.
President Obama was told in 2016, just before the election in September, that Russia may try and interfere with the election. He did nothing. And the reason he did nothing is he thought Hillary was going to win.
More truth coming from the president. He didn't do anything about it. And the reason he didn't do anything is because he thought Hillary was going to win. And he didn't want to help out Donald Trump. He didn't want to give Donald Trump an excuse for why he lost. And so they just covered it up, or they just ignored it. And now we see what they're doing. And it won't stop, as we've seen this week. It's not going to stop. Victor Davis Hanson, he had a piece, his latest yesterday. Trump has become the Democrats' great white whale. He compares the Democrats to an obsessed Ahab going after Moby Dick. The article says at the end, Democrats can never forgive Trump for unexpectedly defeating supposed sure winner Hillary Clinton in 2016 and then systematically and loudly undoing the eight-year agenda of Obama. They will never, ever forgive him for this. That's why they're pulling out all the stops. They'll never forgive him for winning and then undoing the Obama agenda, as he has been for 2 years. Hanson says, so far, Trump seems to have escaped all of their efforts to spear and remove him before the 2020 election. Trump, like Moby Dick, seems a weird force of nature whose wounds from constant attacks only seem to make him more indestructible and his attackers even more obsessed with their prey. What is going on here? This is highly unusual. Any other president, you would think he'd be gone by now. But the way Victor Davis Hanson sees it, it's by some weird force of nature that these wounds only seem to make him stronger. I've been talking this week about the spirit world and what's behind these attacks. Well, we also know about God and how he intervenes to, in the case of America, save the nation temporarily, or to at least save them from the radical left. It says here in Hanson's piece, even if the quest to destroy Trump eclipses every other consideration and entails the destruction of the modern Democratic Party, it seems not to matter to these modern Ahabs. Getting Trump is all they live for and all they have left. It's all that they have left. You listen to some of it, it's to the point where you can hardly even listen to the clips. I can't see how people would listen to a full 30 or 40 minutes of these cable news shows where it's just nonstop. Okay, here's another statement by President Trump, and we've got to break down the 28 lies that he told in this one answer. That's what they're devoted to. They're obsessed. It's what they live for now. Getting Trump is all that they live for. It's all that they have left. No policies. Well, the only one they've really come up with is the Green New Deal. The pie in the sky. Trillions and trillions and trillions in debt. But outside of that, what is their policy for the border crisis? What's their policy or suggested policy for anything? It's basically just to oppose Donald Trump. In that Saving America article, the the one we quote from so often. It's, I guess, a year ago now. My father talks about the definition for treason. And then he says, you don't have to know a lot about government to know that attempting to remove a lawfully elected president from office using unverified propaganda is treason of the highest level. This president said that, I think, just last week. He said there were people guilty of treason, and the left just went nuts with that. They don't mind if John Brennan or others talk about him being treasonous. But he pointed it right back at them and named names, Comey, McCabe, and so on, and said they're guilty of treason. My father said last year, corrupt law enforcement officials led by Barack Obama and with the help of Hillary Clinton conspired to overthrow the government of the United States. And of course, they're still working to that end. And Donald Trump's administration, he's exposing a lot of this. I mentioned months ago this interview, I think, that he had last summer with John Solomon, the president, and how that he said he sees his crowning achievement as being this exposure that he's putting on the radical left and all this evil in this back and forth that he had with the pool of reporters yesterday. He made some of the same points, talking about how that this is one of his great achievements. At least that's how he wants to be seen. Here's clip three.
It's a very sad period for this country, and I think in the end, I will consider what's happening now to be one of my greatest achievements, exposing this corruption.
Exposing this corruption. He keeps going on about this, and again, just some of the language that's being used, the language that Victor Davis Hanson brings out, the more he's hit and injured, the stronger he gets, the stronger and more indestructible he is. And then one of his greatest achievements, exposing this corruption, he went on to say this, clip four.
The whole thing is a scam. It's a giant presidential harassment. And honestly, I hope it goes down as one of my greatest achievements, because I've exposed corruption. I've exposed corruption like nobody knew existed.
That's exactly what my father has said. If you read that Saving America article, he makes the point that none of this would have been exposed had Hillary been elected. And here he is yesterday saying, I've exposed corruption that nobody knew existed. It was all covered up. And the media, they helped cover it up for Barack Obama. It's not that his is the only administration that's had corrupt agents. But the Obama administration took it to another level. And a worshipful media, they helped to cover every bit of it up. The spying, the abuse of power, the lying, the deceit, the leaks, the hoax, the witch hunt, all of it. The coup attempt. Think of it, an attempted coup to take down a sitting president of the United States. And they're going to keep doing it until 2020. Probably be even if he's reelected. It'll just continue right on. But here comes this one administration, and it's exposing corruption that up until that point, nobody even knew existed. My father said in the article last year, when you compare what this president is doing to what his predecessor did, there's been a clear change in direction, a clear change, one that will slow the speed at which America is being pulled apart. Who can deny this clear change in direction? Ben Stein at the American Spectator writes about the great economic boom during this Trump era. He says that Trump's presiding over almost the longest, most robust recovery in the economic history of the United States. Stein says that Mr. Trump likes to exaggerate his accomplishments and himself, but in this case, he's totally on the money. In this case, there's no exaggeration. Stein says this really is the best economy ever in terms of growth, unemployment, especially black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, and we're even seeing a bounce in manufacturing, which we all thought was impossible. We all thought this was impossible. And now we're seeing a bounce in manufacturing as well. Pretty amazing. What is going on behind the scenes here? Who's behind all of this? Well, we can't get too excited about it because, as my father's brought out as well, even with this boom, the administration is still under siege. And really, it's just a type of what all of our nations are facing, the United States and Britain and Little Judah in the Middle East. We're all coming under siege. And the problems, the problems and the troubles that are just intensifying, as I said earlier this week, they start from within. Think about how much worse it will be when we're facing these kinds of troubles from without as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
We all want to have a productive summer, more daylight to work with in most cases. The kids are out of school, and we want to make it fruitful and productive and educational for them as well. My son, by the way, returned yesterday from his one-week journey with his classmates in the Washington, D.C. area. And how amazing it was just to look at the pictures that he took and all the sights that he was able to see and the things that he learned and, of course, the people that he's spending time with. Just a wonderful, uplifting, educational, joyous experience, like it should be for all young people, to learn and to grow and to understand more. As I say, we want to be productive. And to do that, we have to evaluate ourselves routinely. Every week, every month, every year, coming up to Passover, we do it. But we also need to do it every day. And I've made the point before that my father said, I think it was back in 2006, he said to the ministers in God's church that we've just got to get into the habit of doing it daily, to evaluate ourselves daily, like Winston Churchill did. How effectively did I serve God today? What were my successes? What are my failures? Well, questions, asking the right questions can certainly be very helpful. Herbert Armstrong had a list. I think this was back from the 1940s. I didn't bring it with me, but he had 10 or 12 questions, daily questions, that he tried to ask himself. And I've just narrowed it down to three or four here. We'll see what we have time for. But in your daily evaluation this summer, you can start by asking yourself, did I satisfy my spiritual hunger today? We're all hungry. And the big mistake human beings make is trying to satisfy that hunger with material interests. But that doesn't satisfy the real hunger that we have, the spiritual hunger that we have daily. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the eternal Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Paul understood that his work, his preaching, his teaching, even his sufferings, it was for the family of God. It was so that the family might be edified. He saw the big purpose and plan working out here below. And then he says to the brethren in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man, the physical man, it's decaying daily. We're just on a countdown to going back to sleep until the resurrection. But he says there, the mind, that's what the inward man is, the mind, the human spirit, as it works in conjunction with God's spirit, it needs to be renewed. Spiritual life needs to be renewed daily. And that happens through prayer and Bible study and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We talked or studied earlier on the subject of walking in the Spirit. Prayer, Bible study, occasional fasting, meditation, fellowship. That's what it takes to stir up the Spirit of God, as Paul said to Timothy. And we've got to do our part to stir it up. Mr. Armstrong likened the Spirit of God to electricity. We've got to plug into the source. We've got to be in the established habit every day of drinking in of God's truth through prayer, through Bible study. Your contact with God, that's your most important relationship every day. The most important time, you could say the most important hour of your day, is that time that you spend with God in prayer. I referred to this quote just recently in The Plain Truth About Healing, Mr. Armstrong writing about the first century men of God who were moved by such power because of how close they were to God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Mr. Armstrong said, we seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we are so close to a modern materialistic world. Our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God. We're so out of touch with Him through lack of enough time spent in the study of His Word, and lack of enough of the right kind of surrendered, submissive, earnest, and heart-rending prayer. And consequently, because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, which affords us the power of God. That power comes from another source, a source from above. You can't fill it with material interests. You can't fill it, that hunger. You can't satisfy it with the works of the flesh. It needs to be of the Spirit. Ask yourself daily, did I satisfy my spiritual hunger today? The second question you can ask each day, did I strive for purity in all things? Did I strive to lead a pure life? I love the verse in Philippians 4 where Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, he said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Strive for purity in all things. Paul also said that unto the pure, all things are pure. Clean up. Use the Spirit of God and the truth of God to clean up your life, to be purged and purified. Let the Word of God correct you. Let the Word of God show you where you've been off track and get back on the right track and under the light of God's truth. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can be clean if we're walking with God, if we're coming out of this world and following Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:1-2. He's the author and finisher of our faith. John went on to say in this chapter, 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It starts daily, doesn't it? It starts with repentance, with a humble, submissive attitude, an attitude that goes to God and says, God, my heart, it's sick. It's hostile to the law of God. And so humble me, show me where I'm off course, and help me through the power of your Spirit to think on these things, to strive for purity in all things. That's a second question you can ask at the end of each day. Did I strive for purity in all things? Another one, did I exercise self-discipline? We heard a message here at Edstone recently where the speaker pointed out how that this is the key to growth. If we're going to grow, 2 Peter 3:18, in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take temperance, as it says in Galatians 5. It does come from God, but we have to yield to God's temperance, to God's self-control. We have to do our part. The old correspondence course, it says, God does not put within us a sort of miracle-producing dynamo which continually generates this power. We must be continually receiving this power. This goes back to point one. Just making sure that we're being filled with spiritual food. It says here, the Holy Spirit is compared to water. It flows. Jesus said the power of God shall flow out of our innermost being. He quotes from John 7. God's power is active, dynamic. It is not static. It flows into us and out of us in performing His will. So you can't bottle it up, unfortunately, some would say. It'd be nice if we had a big reservoir. It'd be nice if we had an extra supply always there just in case where we trip up, we make some mistakes, or we get lazy spiritually. That's not the way that it works. It has to be stirred up every day. Stir up the gift of God that's in you, Paul said to Timothy. Stir up that power. Train your will. Be in the established habit each day of earnest, fervent prayer and diligent Bible study, Berean-like Bible study, noble study. Pull out the calendar. Look at your schedule month by month. Plug in the fast that you want to work in so you don't just let it slip away. Don't play it by ear. Take the initiative. Put it in the plans. Exercise some self-control. Mr. Armstrong said, character then, once the true knowledge is acquired and the right decision made, involves self-discipline. The truly educated person is a self-disciplined person. The truly educated person is self-disciplined. My son was flying next to a young man well, a middle-aged man, I guess in his mid to late 30s. And it was a long flight, and he had on one device movies playing, and then on another device video games going, and he was playing video games and watching movies at the same time somehow for hours and hours and hours. Just like a little kid. There's lots of adults, quote unquote, lots of adults who behave like children, undisciplined children, who just let this steady stream of materialism feed their minds to try to fill that void that's there, that hunger that's there. It's sad to see it happening with our young people and with adults alike. The last question you can consider, of course, there's many others if you want to think it through and look at that old list by Mr. Armstrong, put together some of your own questions. But in our study, one thing else you could add is, was I diligent in business today? Did I work hard? Solomon said, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide. Listen to this, an ant. It has no guide, no overseer or ruler. There's no big boss looking over the shoulder of the ant, and yet the ant goes about, it's talking about the harvester ant in the Middle East, common in the Middle East, but the ant goes about providing her meat in the summer and gathering food in the harvest, preparing for the winter. It's amazing to watch the organization, the structure, how methodical it all is, looking at an ant colony. They all know what they're doing. The proverb says, look at that example. And don't be one that has to have the guide and the overseer and the ruler behind you always cracking the whip. Show some initiative. Be diligent in all that you do. Certainly, if you're a man who's a provider or a young man trying to find his way, learn the importance of hard work, a diligent work ethic. Understand the importance, how crucially important it is to manage your time well, to prepare ahead like those ants do, and to make sure that you're carrying your weight. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. So that shows how urgent we need to be. We only have so much time. Mr. Armstrong, he wrote this letter back in 1967, a strong rebuke for those who, he used the analogy of bees and how you have the worker bees doing all the work and then the drones that just sit around and do nothing. And he said in that article, don't be a spiritual drone. Do your part. Make sure you're carrying your weight. Make sure you're pitching in. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We've got to be providers. We've got to be thinking about others. We've got to work hard and set examples for our sons. We men, fathers, husbands, and obviously, there's a lot to be said for a diligent homemaker, a diligent wife and mother. The Proverbs 31 woman. Worse than an infidel, Paul said. That's some strong admonition to work hard. And if we do that, we will be well satisfied in the end. Look at Paul. He worked himself to death. Literally, if you look at the way his life ended. Some of it was brought on him, of course, but still, he was able to say in 2 Timothy 4, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to depart. There's a crown waiting for me, and I've earned it. Not that he earned the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that. But he will be rewarded according to his works. He's going to be rewarded for all the effort that he put in. He said in that same passage, I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course. So it's a battle along the way, and we're going to have setbacks. We may veer off course here and there, but get back on track. Follow the light. You can do it if you get into the habit of evaluating yourself every day, just making sure that you're staying on course. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some feedback coming in from YouTube, from emails, I think from Facebook, quite a few different sources. We'll get into that in just a bit. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Jesus said, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. But God wants to bring you out of sin, just as he delivered the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt. He wants to empower you to live sin-free, a totally different, God-centered way, walking in newness of life. It is a life of blessings, of understanding, peace, fulfillment, and joy. But it is not the broad, easy way. Jesus said that narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. This booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, will help guide you along that narrow path that leads to righteousness and blessings. The Christian life is full of challenges and trials. It requires learning God's will and following it, even against temptation and self-desire. It demands struggle and sacrifice. It is a life of overcoming and conquering sin. The Bible backs this up from the first chapters of Genesis to the final chapters of Revelation. Scripture frequently describes it as a struggle, a fight, a battle. How to Be an Overcomer is the perfect field manual you need to rule your own spirit well and to overcome your adversary. Request How to Be an Overcomer today and learn about what it takes to win your war against sin. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
As many of you know, we're now streaming the program to YouTube as well, which seems to be opening up this program to hundreds of listeners. And also, it makes it engaging for some of you that can get into the live chat. We've got several people saying hello this morning. Richard just gives me this. Good morning from Oklahoma. We have greetings from Georgia, from Ulster, up in Ireland. Boise, Idaho, Indiana, the Philippines, sunny Pennsylvania. One of you writes, great rising up with the Trumpet Daily. My friends in God from Charlotte, North Carolina, the number one radio and live stream of all time. How about that? Another one here says, this is truly a blessing and pleasure. Key of David first, then the Trumpet Daily to start the day. That's from today's live chat going on right now at YouTube. A few comments to YouTube earlier this week. I love to listen to the Trumpet Daily, it says. Another one writes, thank you for the burnout information. Well said, very inspiring. That's in response to Mr. Falk's show last Friday, I think it was. This one here says, thanks for uploading the Trumpet Daily radio show. And it says, non-English speaking listeners now better understand fast-talking Americans. I don't talk fast. Well, maybe I do. I suppose it varies from time to time. In any event, another one here. These are a few emails. Arkansas says, just finished today's show and tears are welling up inside me. I think this is in response to yesterday's program. For sure, they were exactly the words of encouragement and instruction that I needed today. All your instruction is always just what I need. But this, at this moment, especially so, I want to do everything that I can to be taught and really strive to use the Holy Spirit. Quite a few comments, as I said at the top of the show, In response to the short segment we had on getting outside and walking, getting in moderate exercise this summer. This one here comes from Connecticut saying, although the daily listening to the Trumpet Daily is always a joy, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for the exhortation to put exercise back into daily life in moderation and to keep it there, giving examples and words of Mr. Armstrong from God. This section profoundly affected me. It gave me encouragement and direction, inflamed a confidence and assurance from God that this was the way to go, and urgently. She goes on to describe some of the challenges that she's had in the last few years. She was married a few years back, not that that's been a challenge, but it's new, and she moved, I believe. She took on a new job, and it's just been pretty hectic, transitioning into a dramatically different lifestyle. And just recently, she started to see that she needed to improve her physical health. She says, now I'm taking stock of my physical health, and oh man, have I allowed my health to be impacted. I've gained too much weight, and so on and so forth. She talks about catching more colds and things like that, and how that she's been alarmed by this downturn physically. So then she describes what she's been doing in recent weeks, and how encouraging the program was last week to just admonish her further to try to get moderate exercise in each week, to eat better, and to get plenty of rest at night. It says, the first few weeks I would be sore and exhausted by a more active day, but little by little I've been slowly getting stronger. I heard your message, and wow, did it fill me with joy and stir up a determination to not stop and to keep going steadily with consistency. My husband also is becoming more excited about becoming more fit. We'll keep you posted on the progress. So keep us posted. That's the way to go, so that we can provide encouragement for others of you out there listening, looking to do the same thing. This one here says, you touched on one of my favorite topics, but failed to mention one of the most inspiring action-packed events in the Bible. It's an excellent one to meditate on and wonderful to consider. The patriarch Caleb, how he was ready for war at the age of 85, the same as he was when he was 40. That's a remarkable example. It says, it surely is because he observed and acted on these commands from God, and also to consider what he received for obedience. Hebron, it says. What a warrior in action. I'm positive that you can give these verses more fire and depth than I, but I tell you, these are wonderful examples God inspired to motivate us to be soldiers of action, movement, and vigor. He goes on to talk about some of his personal gains, progress that he's made. I used to weigh 240, now I'm 170. I used to eat cheeseburgers, now I buy and prepare organics. I used to watch video games, now I read history books, both to me and my son. I used to pollute the air with bad music, and now I appreciate the finer things to feed my mind with, like Armstrong Auditorium musicals. He says, thank you. Please thank the rest of the awesome staff that keeps roaring out quality productions that inspire, instruct, encourage, and help reinforce these measures in due season, and then go play 9 holes of golf. He's referring to a golf match we had a few weeks ago. God has blessed his family, coworkers, supporters, and honestly, you can't tune into this show and not want to go to war in your individual life. Finally, he writes, God has honored me to be a coworker, and I'm praying he gives me the victory to attend services and the victory to baptism and the blessing of newness of true life that is only possible through him. It is a sure hope and the only thing worth fighting for. So some great feedback there from one of our coworkers who will hopefully soon be a member. Another one here coming from the UK. He writes, listening to the Divided States of America, the section on go outside and walk, he says, I exercise 4 to 5 days a week. Around 32 years of age, I stopped exercising, and by 42, so 10 years, a 10-year layoff, he says, by 42, my body was beginning to complain, aching feet, ankles, knees, hips. I came to the conclusion, correctly, that the muscles around my joints were beginning to fade. So I began to exercise vigorously. My routine begins with 20 to 25 minutes of calisthenics, stretching, 1 to 2 sessions of cardiovascular weights, 30 to 40 minutes on the heavy punching bag, and then I return to the weights. 50 to 60 sit-ups, he says, and then take a calm-down, relaxing position. Generally, it takes 1 hour and 20 minutes. It's hard work. It does sound pretty rigorous. But he says here, but at the end, I feel wonderful, ready, refreshed, to study my Bible and listen to your excellent programs on thetrumpet.com. Once again, thank you all for everything that you do. Your work is greatly appreciated by us out here listening in. That comes from a listener who's 65 years old. 65 years old, and he's keeping up with that rigorous schedule. A regular listener, and obviously a regular exerciser as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to have your messages read on the air, you can get onto the live chat at YouTube. You can send comments from Facebook, email. You can send audio comments at the website as well. We look forward to them. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.